have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hello, my name is Glenda Johnson, better known as G. Johnson. When I'm not busy, I like tuning in to Elations Radio on Saturday nights with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., where the topic of discussion is making marriage meaningful. It appeals to the saved and the unsaved. It's for couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and for those who are divorced yet considering remarriage. Now, this discussion, making marriage meaningful, is the most explicit, authentic relationship talk live here on Elations Radio. So save the date and time on your calendar. We look forward to hearing and seeing from you at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 o'clock p.m. Central. So tune in to the broadcast and be blessed. Amen.
Press in his presence.
Hello, my name is Glenda Johnson, better known as G. Johnson. When I'm not busy, I like tuning in to Elations Radio on Saturday nights with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., where the topic of discussion is making marriage meaningful. It appeals to the saved and the unsaved. It's for couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and for those who are divorced yet considering remarriage. Now, this discussion, making marriage meaningful, is the most explicit, authentic relationship talk live here on Elations Radio. So save the date and time on your calendar. We look forward to hearing and seeing from you at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 o'clock p.m. Central. So tune in to the broadcast and be blessed. Amen.
Welcome to Making Marriage Meaningful. This is your host, Apostle Irvin Whitlow.
Well, hello, hello, hello. God bless you. Look, we are back here another week for more Making Marriage Meaningful. Oh, we are so excited to be here with you on tonight and so glad to have you joining us. We are in expectation that God is going to speak to us and share with us so that you concerning your marriage, your relationship, the kind of talk we're going to talk. Let me put this disclaimer out there. I am not a relationship expert. I will not tell the lie that I am. I will say that I've had some experiences that I believe if I share some of the things I've learned over the past 20-something years of being in and out of relationships with the good, the bad, the ups, the downs, being different and whatnot, I believe you will get something that will help you to make good choices and to have a better, more fulfilling relationship. Now that I put that out there, let me make this disclaimer. This conversation that you're about to hear, wherever you're listening from, is real. We don't talk about fake stuff, fictitious stuff, make-believe stuff, fantasized stuff. No, we talk about real stuff because we're dealing with real people having real issues in real life. Secondly, you must know that this conversation is absolutely R-A-W. That's right. I mean raw. I'm not talking about Monday night raw. I'm talking about real raw talk, okay? Finally, this conversation is every bit of relevant. Please hear me. It's going to be something you can identify with, and that's what it's all about on this side. So we are excited tonight to share with you, and we are in anticipation tonight of what the Lord is going to say to us as we get going. Let me see who's here with me from my crew, panel of people who have been in and or out of some type of marriage or relationship, or those who may be married or those who have some experience in some areas. I believe that'll be valuable to you. Let me start all the way at the top and bring myself on down. I want to check tonight and see if Brother Gabriel and Lady Gabriel Otis is with us on this evening. Are y'all here tonight?
We are here waiting for this dynamic conversation.
Yes, we are.
Amen. We're glad to hear your voice always. God bless you. Let's see here. I want to know if the one, the only Bishop-elect, Ernest E. Richard Jr., has made it back from his mission trip to get on this call, this podcast tonight. Bishop-elect, are you here with us? I think that means no, he's not. All right. Well, let me check and see if this other man of God is here. I'm talking about the one who makes you think like crazy. I'm talking about Apostle Vincent L. Smith. Are you here, sir? Okay, so we have two who aren't here. All right. Tonight, Sister G has the night off. She said she got some things she's got to take care of. So let me see. Is Dr. Kimmy Robinson here with us tonight?
Kimmy Kim is in the building. Hello, everyone.
Don't hang with me tonight this time.
I am in. I am on for the discussion. I'm looking forward to the wonderful meet. Yes, I'm ready.
You often kick me to the curb. You often don't want to be with me.
No,
when I'll be on this thing,
you know I love this podcast. I love this podcast, so I'm ready. Bring it.
You love this podcast on Sundays, just not on Saturdays. Thank God for you. Thank God for you. We appreciate you. Let's see. Do we have any other callers who are here tonight? I may not be aware of your presence, but I would like to acknowledge you if you're here.
Reverend Billy Gabriel. Reverend Billy Gabriel.
What's that, Reverend Billy Gabriel?
Gabriel. That's
all right. Say hello.
Another Gabriel.
Yes. Hello. God bless you. Thank God for you. Amen. Anyone else? I want to miss you with that.
The time is short.
I just get to you. Oh. He's here. The more you make me see, giving you all I got. Your love has rescued me. Oh, I'm sorry. Lord have mercy. I thought this was putting on the hip. I done died.
All right.
Have mercy, help me tonight, Lord. How's everybody? Be the Lord. Let's rock this thing.
God.
Amen. Anyway, there was someone else that was starting to speak. Who was it? I thought I heard a lady there.
LaTanya Shaw.
Well, God bless you, Apostle LaTanya Shaw. Thank God for you joining in. I hope you will join the conversation tonight. Amen. Amen. So let's get to going. All right. I tell you what, Brother Gabriel, won't you lead us in a word of prayer tonight?
Which one? Okay. To God be the glory. Most gracious
Heavenly
Father, as we come before you tonight, first we'd just like to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your awesomeness and your grace, Lord God. As we come together tonight, Lord, I pray that our hearts and our minds will be open. And Lord, if you should find anything in our hearts and our minds and spirit this night tonight that may block the blood that block out the hearing of our hearing of God, that we may receive your word clearly and understandable, O God. And we pray, Lord, that just bless those on the line who come eagerly and willing to share the word of God, to share it, the God, but total clarity in us as in regard to our relationship in our family and in our marriages, God. And I am prayerful, dear God, that it will be totally clear and we'll understand it better as we listen to those who share their wisdom and their knowledge. This is my honest prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Let me look at the scripture out of the Amplified Bible, Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 down through 13. It says, now the serpent was more crafty, subtle, skilled in deceit than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made. And the serpent, Satan, said to the woman, can it really be that God has said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees of the garden except the fruit from the tree which is in the middle of the garden. God said, you shall not eat from it nor touch it, otherwise you will die. But the serpent said to the woman, you certainly will not die, But God knows that on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open. That is, you will have greater awareness, and you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was delightful to look at and a tree to be desired in order to make one wise and insightful, she took some of its fruit and ate. And she gave also some to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of the two of them were opened. That is, their awareness increased. And they knew that they were naked. And they fastened fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool, that is, afternoon breeze of the day. So the man and his wife hid and kept themselves hidden from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten fruit from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord said, God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent beguiled me and deceived me, and I ate from the forbidden tree." All right? So that is the word of the Lord, and we say the Lord bless those who hear and receive and act upon his word. We've been talking about conquering failure in marriage. As we look at this, we see a number of things that transpire, a number of things that take place, okay? We talked about the outside influences, that is, you know, listening to outside voices concerning your marriage and what goes on in your marriage. We talked about developing new relationships. We talked about rekindling old relationships. We talked about affairs and one-night stands, how to avoid them. Then we've been dealing with this internal disconnect. We talked about untrustworthiness, being untrustworthy, especially when you are withholding information from your mate. You're untrustworthy. I know that's going to cause somebody to say out, but in this day and time, it pays to be open. It pays to be honest. It pays to be truthful when it comes to this marriage relationship. Now, at the same time, we saw a lack of intimacy. Here, this woman is talking with another creature rather than bonding with her husband. There's some things in that I could get into. Then we talked about fault finding, which we find that took place here as to why certain things transpired. Last week, we dealt again with sexual dissatisfaction, and we talked about premarital sex as opposed to the challenge of it in marriage. One thing I want to make clear from last week, nobody from this podcast said that it is okay for premarital sex. I had some feedback that said it sounds like y'all saying it's okay to have sex before you get married. That is not what we said. That is not what we said. We talked about being able to discuss these things, but we didn't talk about you should do those things. So for those who thought that was the case, let's get your mind straight. No, we're not saying that you can do it before you say I do. I come from old school, no wed, no bed, no ringy, no thingy. It's that simple. And so you can't touch it, you can't play with it, you can't sniff it, you can't taste it, none of that. It's just that simple. You got to wait until you say, I do, for the Bible says that marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled. When you get married and you say, I do, if you want to hang from a chandelier, that's up to you. If you want to put a pole in your bedroom and you want to do things from the pole, that's fine. But until then, wait. Do not listen. The best form of sex prior to marriage is abstinence. So you got to hold out and say, I'm going to wait until that special day. Now that I got that out the way, I want to make sure that you understand how important it is that you talk about things that are necessary pertaining to this. However, while you talk about it, you should not dwell on it to the point where you start thinking about it and then start flirting around it until it begins to overtake you. Because let's tell the truth, hormones are real and feelings get to flowing and it can create some issues and it may not be a good thing. I need you to understand that there are going to be some great things that we're going to share, but we need to talk about this, okay? So let's make sure you understand this. No hanky-panky, no premarital sex, okay? But you do want to develop a type of relationship that when you do get married, that your sexual desires are fulfilled. Let me say this, and I believe that some of these people are going to agree with me. Sex is good. I don't care if you're saved or not. When you get married, sex is good. And those who do not understand that, they are missing something. Is there anybody who agree with me that when you get married, sex is good? Anybody?
When you get married, sex has changed. It becomes more intimate and more special, and it sort of typifies the term making love. There's a difference between having sex and just making love to someone. And I think in the marriage bed, it becomes more intimate, it becomes more special, and it becomes more of loving and bonding.
Amen. Anyone else?
I think Brother Otis covered that real good. I really do.
Amen.
I don't think he can say it.
Amen.
No better or no different.
Okay. All right. Well, then let me go here because I don't want to keep dealing with this sexual dissatisfaction. But there is another internal disconnect that we need to really pay attention to, and that is expecting your spouse to make you happy. This is a very tragic thing because if you're expecting somebody to make you happy, then the same way they can make you happy, they can turn around and make you sad. I think it's important to understand that happiness must be internal. Happiness must be internal. So I say it again, it is important to not expect your spouse to make you happy. You have to want to be happy or else you shouldn't have said, I do. Talk to me, Apostle Smith.
Well, I think you answered it and you asked the question. The same person that can make you so happy can also make you sad. And when they do not, well, let me back up a minute. If you are expecting happiness out of another person in your relationship, whether if you are a courting couple, I know that's an old word, whether if you are a courting couple or a covenant couple, if you are expecting the other party to keep you happy, I'm telling you now, you're headed for disappointment. Because while you are waiting for them to keep you happy, guess what? On the other side of that love seat, they're waiting for the same thing. And when it don't reach that expectation, and truthfully, most times when both parties are waiting for somebody else to make them happy, it really stems from the way they were raised, because more than likely they were raised spoiled. Whereas somebody always...
I don't know if want to say that I don't agree, but why wouldn't couples want to make each other happy? And I think you learn about each other and what makes you happy in that courtship that you talked about, you know, just learning each other, your likes, your dislikes. But I don't understand why you wouldn't be concerned with your partner's happiness, because as you know, you can be unhappy by yourself. So if you want the relationship to work and to continue to mature and you all live and have a happy life together, I think you would have a concern about making each other happy, and you wouldn't be happy if your partner's not happy.
I agree with you. Don't think what I'm getting ready to say is argumentation with you, that I definitely wouldn't do that. But according to the angle that the question was asked to me and the statement that was made, that while you're looking for a person to make you happy, that person can also make you sad. And so I was coming from the angle that we must be careful in that looking for that person to make you happy. Of course, if that couple, as you have said, if that couple have already discussed certain things before they got married, they already understand what they need to do, where they need to go, how they need to interact with each other. But according to what was put before me, I was speaking about the fact that when you are just looking, let's say it's a selfish happiness, you're always looking to be the one made happy. That comes most times from folk that was spoiled and have not really come into a truth of adulthood. When you always think you're supposed to be the one happy and made happy, and you know, and every time we go out, we're supposed to go to the restaurant you want to go to, as though I don't like to eat nothing, something's wrong with that. But I do agree. If things have been talked about, then you got to follow through with that we already know we need to do to make it pleasurable. I'm gonna use a different term there, to keep that pleasure in between us. I agree with you.
Now, let me make sure that we understand this. Again, you have to decide when you wake up in the morning that you want to be happy. Again, happiness is an inside job. No outside person can make you happy. Not an outside person. It is an inside job. So if I wake up this morning, if I wake up in the morning and say, I don't want to be happy, there's no comedy. There's no laughter. There is no joke. There is nothing that another individual can do to make me happy if I don't want to be happy. Now, granted, I do believe that when couples get married, they should be interested in the joyous experience of their companion, their mate. They should be contributing to that. But you can do all that you want to do, but a person who doesn't want to be happy just doesn't want to be happy. You can provide flowers, you can give money, you can take vacation, but if an individual has determined they want to be unhappy, they want to be depressed, they want to be sad, they want to sulk, and so on, there is nothing you can do to make them want to be happy. And so this is what we're talking about. See, because you're right. People can be together, right, and they can be together and yet be lonely, right? They can be together and not be happy. Why? It is a choice. Happiness is an inside job. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us to be happy. The Bible tells us to rejoice. The Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. However, happiness is an absolute choice. I hope you understand where I'm coming from. I hope you understand where I'm coming from. So if you're expecting somebody else to make you happy when you're married to them, then let's think about this again. Let's look at this, okay? You married them because something about them makes you feel good, makes you excited, makes you say, wow, I'm so glad this person's in my life. Then, you know, a few days later, you're miserable. Why? How is it that the same person who you were glad that they were in your life now causes you to be miserable? Uh-oh.
All right. Okay, this is Brother Otis.
Hello?
And I would like to respond to the happiness. I can really understand it from a philosophical point of view, that happiness and joy, these elements may be found internally. And with the marriage, a man and a woman, wife and husband, making each other happy, I would have to speak from a personal point of view over several decades. Before I married my wife, I told her, I promised her that when you marry me, I am going to make you happy. And she liked that statement, and because she wanted to be happy. And so I found out the things that made her happy. And the things that made her happy, I had no opposition to. As a matter of fact, I delighted in doing things that would make her smile, to doing things that would make her relax and feel content and feel protected and feel cared for. And so I would do those things. And the reason I say it is going to be from a personal standpoint is because I have a different type of relationship with my wife than most other married couples have. Is I spend every day over the past few decades that's been with my wife every day, all day. And one day I took a look at that and I said, baby, do you know that I am seldom, if ever, more than 30 seconds away from you? And that takes place when we're in Walmart and she's overlooking at something, and I'm someplace else. But we always make sure that our cell phones are open before we separate. And the happiness factor is I make my wife happy. My wife makes me happy. And internally, when my wife said to me one time, she said she woke up in the morning, and she looked over at me. It came from a song. And she said, it's going to be a happy day. And the same thing, and I try to make sure that she is happy. At the end of the evening, it's not a ritual, just something that she say. Before she goes to sleep, she said, honey, I had a real nice day with you today, and that makes me feel good. So for me, for others, every relationship is different. You have a whole different set of factors and elements that are available in personality, likes, dislikes, preferences, biases in every person. But for me and my wife, I make her happy. And she tells me in those words, and she makes me very happy. And when I do something that pleases her, I feel good. As a matter of fact, I've been retired for quite a few years, and she retired. And I said, baby, listen, if you want something, just let me know. My only job is to make you happy. And that works very well for us. And my happiness is 95% depending on what my wife and I do together. It's not an internal situation for me. It is a combination of what we do say to each other.
Now, Brother Gabriel, now that is the experience between you and your wife. And we know that y'all have been married for some years, and we definitely respect that. But that is not the prevailing view. That is not the prevailing issue or synopsis when it comes to couples. There are people who are married, and they are unhappy because there are things that are causing them to be unhappy. And granted, yes, you know, we do hear things like that. If you marry me, I'm going to make you happy, and so on and so forth. But let's just tell the truth, okay? There are just things you cannot guarantee people if they choose not to be happy. If somebody want to be miserable, they're going to be miserable. If somebody want to be suspicious, they're going to be suspicious. If somebody going to be assuming and accusatory, that's what they're going to do because that is what resides within them. I remember when I was a kid that I read something that says children live what they learn, okay? So if they live with criticism, they grow up to learning to condemn. But if they are praised, then they know how to give compliments. So therefore, a lot of people have grown up being, if you will, mistreated, mishandled. They've been criticized. They've been ostracized and whatnot. And so therefore, nothing that anybody says makes them happy. Nothing that anybody does makes them feel better about being who they are. It is an internal thing. And if they don't have it, it just doesn't happen. Let me respond to this. Happiness is a feeling, and if your spouse can't make you happy, what are you supposed to do in the meantime? Here's what you have to do. You have to make your own self happy, but you have to do it without going outside of your marriage. Please hear me. You can't go outside of your marriage to make yourself happy just because you think it's going to be... Come on, talk to me.
Brother Holmes, let's notice something. And I'm always blessed to be on the line with Brother and Sister Gabriel. Because of their years of endurance and years of now marital wisdom and bliss. But let's notice the key to what he said. They did a lot of talking about it before they got into it. And then he said he promised her that it would be this way the rest of their lives. And that's where it falls through the cracks. You know that old term, whispering sweet nothings? That's what happens. A lot of men, and I said men, some women do it too, but mostly men, they whisper a whole lot of stuff and say a whole lot of stuff before they get to that altar, trying to win her over. But once they get in that house, the words that were spoken before they got to the altar seemed to either them find his way to the trash or out the window or something. And then we still have a few brothers like Brother Otis and maybe like some of us that are on the line that still believe in romance, still believe in flowers and candy and taking them out for ice cream and getting two spoons and dipping in the same Sunday and all that kind of stuff. I still believe in it because I've experienced it. I know what it is. And I'm going to come from a girlfriend standpoint and even a wife standpoint. But I know what it is to go to the ping pong and order a brownie sundae. And when it comes, I have one spoon. Because not only will we eat the same ice cream and the same brownie, I said her the ice cream and the brownie.
All right.
So when I say that there is a disconnect somewhere between the talking we did before and the actuality that happens in the home, that's where the problems come in right there. You can't make promises that you're not gonna stay with. And then sometimes silence in the home cause the promise to be broke. And there's not going to be no happiness when you can't stay happy yourself.
All right.
Okay. Anyone else with any other comments?
Yeah, to add to what he said, you have got to build the foundation on your relationships. And, you know, I've always promoted this dating for 1 year at least to get to know people and, you know, find out if you really, really enjoy being with them. And just doing simple things, ways, taking them out, spending money. See if you all have anything in common just by sitting and talking and doing nothing. Now, just like with my husband, he likes to fish. I have no desire to fish. But once I found out that he enjoys fishing, guess who has a fishing rod? So, you know, you just have to learn what people's interests are, listen to their activities and ideas that they want to share, and I just feel like you need to build a relationship, and you don't do that overnight because so many times now you get involved with these rocket loves. And what I mean, you're very infatuated with the person, you like the way they look, you know, whatever you like, partying, sex, whatever, and it just shoots right up to the top. And then after all of the fantasy and the newness has worn off, you don't have any foundation there. And you find yourself trying to please a person if you like them more than they like you, and that's where we run into problems like we're talking about tonight.
I respect what you said, that your husband, you found out that he liked to fish and you had no desire to fish. But notice now, you didn't go fishing to make him happy. Now, he's glad to have your company, but you didn't go fishing to make him happy. You went fishing because you wanted to be a part of what he's doing.
Yes, that's an activity he enjoys doing, and it makes him happy. And I began to enjoy it because it's a very relaxing time. It's a time where you're together just sitting, talking, and waiting for the fish to bite. So, you know, I enjoy going fishing with them.
Right. Now, again, this is something that you decided to do, not to make him happy, but because you wanted to share in what he enjoys. And
that's right. This
is the thing, okay? When you want to share in what someone enjoys, that will ultimately bring you joy. Watch, because notice the key is to enjoy. So it will bring you joy when you can share in what he enjoys. And that's what should take place in a marriage. Unfortunately, that is not the case. Let me tell you now. When I was married, okay? I did not enjoy going to the hair salon with the missus. You know why? Because I felt it was boring. Simple, and you're sitting there, and they, and then you know, and when a man's in the presence of a bunch of women in a hair salon, they ain't gonna have a real conversation like when a man is in a barber shop, and don't make a difference who's there, they gonna talk what they gonna talk, right? But now here's the reality: when I would go to the barber shop, she never wanted to come to the barber shop. Why? Because she knew that was the place that men hung out. Men talk about what they talk about, okay? Now, granted, now the only thing that probably took place that made, that brought about some happiness is probably when we went to a movie, went to eat, or went bowling, okay? But that was because it was a competition, that's all. I'm saying that to say this. If an individual does not involve themselves with their spouse, then again, they're going to find it a challenge to find themselves being happy. And I think, and if I'm wrong, you have every right to correct me, I think that happiness has to do with feeling like you belong. Happiness has to do with feeling like you belong, that you're a part of, that you mean something. Do I make any sense anywhere to anybody?
Oh yes, you make a lot of sense. Matter of fact, it's something that's easy understood, you know, about what you're saying. But the dynamics are different with each couple, and unless you know you're going to be around us several years, you really wouldn't understand what I was saying. But I make my wife happy, and she tells me that she's happy. Sometimes just out of the blue, she said that she never expected to live this well, you know, ever. It's beyond what she'd ever expected. And I told her I never expected to have anybody as pretty and sweet as she is. She's very cooperative, and we do, when I say everything together, I know we're not supposed to use absolute, but whenever either one of our cars move, we are both in the car. I had an appointment with the doctor recently, and she said, "What's on the calendar for today?" I said, "I have a 10 o'clock appointment with the doctor." And my wife, she went back in the room, and she started getting ready. And not just this time, but every time. And we go on my appointment together. If she has an appointment, she had a dental appointment. So what time is it, baby? She tell me what time it is, and I start getting ready. It is not something where you have to ask, will you drive me or you want to go with me? It's just something that we have always done. And this is going on 4 decades, and it's working very well for us. But we would not expect that to take place, wouldn't even recommend it for another couple based on what you just said there, Apostle Whitlow, that you don't like certain things. But everything that my wife engages in, I am part of, then she's right there with me. I even went to the nail shop and had a, what's that thing called when they do your toes and cut your toenails and wash your feet, whatever it is, pedicure thing. Yeah, I even got a pedicure because my wife was wanting one. And I was sitting there beside her, and the lady kept saying, "Well, let me give you one." I said, "Okay, since I'm going to sit here, I just made sure no men were around to see me." But I got a pedicure, and I was real happy doing it. Matter of fact, it felt kind of nice, and I had no problems with that. And my wife was happy because I was sitting there with her, and I am very happy when she's happy. And she tells me the same thing. I heard you say something about a restaurant. We have several restaurants that we go to, and sometimes we're in the car. I said, "Oh, baby, it's about 2 o'clock. I said, "Which restaurant would you like to go to today?" And she said, "Honey, I'm with you. Anywhere you go is all right with me." And so it is different. It is continuous. It is togetherness 24 hours a day. and it's been that way for decades, and it works with us, and she makes me happy, and I make her happy. And it's not, so far, it hasn't just been internal. I don't wake up in the morning, I'm not going to be happy today, and anything she says or does is going to tick me off. No. When we get together, we start off the beginning of the day. I just tell you this. I never told him. My brother's on the line. He doesn't know about this. Well, my wife and I get up in the morning. As soon as we are both vertical, both walking around, the first thing that we do, if I see her walking down the hall or she comes into the kitchen where I am, the first thing we do, we walk up to each other and give each other a long, full body press, double arm wrap, embrace. And while we're doing that, I kiss her on her cheek, on her face, I rub her, and that lasts for about 15 to 30 seconds. And that happens every single morning. We are never in too big of a hurry going anywhere to do that.
You told
and that starts off our day. And so it's unusual, but that's what we do. And we thoroughly enjoy being together. And she makes me happy, and I make her happy. And there's no other way around that or no other way to explain it. It's not internal. My wife makes me happy.
Yep, you told me.
About the Whitlow, do you have some tissue over there? This love thing is just... I can't take them to another week.
You know what? You know, I you know what? I love listening to, you know, your love story. All right? But now, Brother Gabriel, let's talk about those who don't have that. Let's talk about those who are together yet they're miserable. Why? Because she's dissatisfied that, you know, he's too open and he's too friendly and she's not. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about how he's unsatisfied he's not satisfied because she won't open up, but she'll get on her phone and she'll text or she'll talk to her girlfriend and things like that. See, these are things that we have to look at because these are things that people are dealing with. And so while you have a great story, that is not a lot of people around the world. So let's talk about those things.
I agree with that.
Because we want to help people conquer their failure. That's what it boils down to. I'm glad that you have success. I love listening to it. I hope that you and your wife write a book on how to do it. I hope y'all do. Because there are folk who get married on Saturday and Monday they want it over.
Yeah, you're right.
So,
but again,
it's
foundational relationship building. You have get to know people.
Well, now, here's the thing. People think, Teddy Pendergrass has said, after all the things we've been through, you should understand me like I understand you. I got my wrongs, and you got yours too. But as long as we've been together, that should be easy to do. Right? So he says, if you don't know me by now, you will never, ever know me. Here's the reality. I've discovered that you can get a foundation of a year. Some people wait 6 and 7 years and have this so-called foundation, and they get married, and yet all of the stuff that they thought they learned, it is something different when they get married. So let's help them. We understand what you're talking about, that year of getting a good foundation. And you said something that I really love. You said something that I wanna chime in on. You said sitting down, having a conversation just to find out what you have in common just by conversating, not doing all this touchy-feely stuff and going here, spending money, whatever, just sitting down. Let's be honest. This talking in today's time is a no-no. In today's time, talking is like, are you serious? What are you trying to do? Bore me to death? What are you trying to do? Get me to run away from you? Because people don't want to do no more talking in this day and time. There's no patience for that. People, let's just tell the truth. People want to get in, get what they get out, and be on their way.
Well, you don't need anybody like that for a partner. You just need them as maybe a friend and sounding board. But, you know, there's cream at the top. You know, everybody's not that way. That's why you have to learn and talk to people and find out if they're somebody that's worth investing in.
Okay.
Could I ask a question?
Come on, sir.
I want to bring it to this day and hour. In this day and hour, where people are more subject to text, call, or talk, how in a relationship do we bring them to the kind of testimony that Brother Otis just talked about? And not only that, I want to throw this out there too. The comedian said him and his wife was sitting on the couch together. And then all of a sudden his text message went off. His wife sitting right next to him in his arms sent him a text. Are you hungry, honey? He said, I couldn't believe it. She's sitting right next to me in my arms and text me and asked me, did I want something to eat? So how do we bring... how do we bring this technology age into an understanding that if you do not verbally communicate, you're going to lose the art of happiness? How do we do that?
Well, you're going to have to talk about it, and it may be uncomfortable in the beginning, but, you know, sometimes you have to set some ground rules. And, you know, that just comes out of being respectful to you.
But the man and the woman love to say, that's what I'm saying. They both done gotten this technology thing, and they both love to text. So as people who counsel or those who are advisors, how do we bring them out of the technological thing that they do and begin to give them understanding of the verbal act, that needs to go on in their home? How do we get them there?
Okay, I have a response. I have a response to that, this Brother Otis, is that there are several things, activities, that are going to occur with a couple during a given day, and then over a period of time. And there are some things that are going to be small irritants, and then there are some that are going to be mutually agreeable. And many times there are things that seem odd to one couple that would be something that would be bonding for another couple. And that texting, we have noticed that too. Apostle Smith, that some people just love the electronics. And we have seen people out to dinner, a couple, and they seldom say anything to each other, and they both have their cell phones, and many times they're texting and communicating or playing games, you know, with someone other than the person that they're sitting there having dinner with. Now, what we've noticed is, they're having dinner. They're out to dinner. So they can truthfully say that, you know, my husband and I went out to dinner on a dinner date today. However, that date is different from maybe a date that another person would consider ideal. but if it is pleasing to those two individuals, then they are both happy, mutually satisfying relationship. It is not something that I would recommend, and I'm sure that I wouldn't like that, and my wife wouldn't like it, so we don't do it. But what we do at the when we sit to eat, no matter if we don't use the booths, you know, where you sit across from one another, we always, and this is without exception, sit side by side so we can touch one another whenever one person would love to be touched or like to touch the other person. And that's just something that we have always done. It wasn't part of a conversation. It was just something that we discovered that we both like to do. And doing that, there is something that is a small irritant or something that is not as pleasant to one party as the individual would like for it to be, it's time to have a conversation. Because if you don't, you're going to become more and more irritated by each occurrence. But if you can stop it and change it, because here's something that's surprising. A person may do something that is irritating to their partner, but they may not even know it's irritating to the partner, and what they're doing may not even be important to the doer. If they're doing it's just something I did. I don't mind changing. I can stop doing that. And now they've been together 3 years, and this person about to explode every time he sees that occur, and it could have been stopped with a simple conversation. You know, baby, you know, I get kind of disturbed, you know. It bothers me, you know, when you do or when you say that. We got something called the I messages. You know, just tell the impact of it to you when it happens. And he might say, oh, okay, I don't have no problem with that. I'm glad you let me know, and it's over. But if it's not, if you value the relationship, you're going to respect what a person likes and does not like. And that is just relationship building.
I think that one of the things that is needed in today's time is we need couples that are marital mentors. I think that is something that we should consider, having marital mentors, couples that can show young couples how it's done. Because the truth is told, many have not seen it, so many don't know how to expect it or look for it because they've never seen it. How do you do what you haven't seen? How do you do what you haven't been taught? How do you do what nobody has ever taken the time to show you. Apostle Smith one time said something in concerning a particular scripture. It says that train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. He says that what we really need to understand is that what it's saying is to teach them to do what you do. So if we have fathers who are not in the house, right, we have mothers who are not married, then how do they really learn a healthy relationship, a healthy conversation, when the only thing they get is someone who fusses at them and who tells them about their failures and who tells them that they're no good and they're going to end up just like their father and their mother, and they got all of these negative connotations and negative adjectives and whatnot coming at them? How do they really learn to become what they need to become in order to have a healthy, official relationship that matriculates to marriage that is long-lasting and not ending up in divorce court?
I think the churches are attempting to address this problem, but somebody started to say something, so I would defer.
That must have been Billy, because he ain't said too much tonight.
Well,
come on, Billy.
Well, mine is really, really a little different. And I talked to my brother and his wife all the time. We share this. Now he and I are both on a different. I'm on a different area, arena. It's just the opposite. I'm a divorcee. And I, since we're on the line, I can share mine. I had a good wife. I'm a good man. However, I'm just gonna be okay. I just gonna put it out there. It's okay because I'm alone. And as a result of my record, and I can understand, I started off doing 150 miles an hour, and we were happy. But somewhere, somehow, at the beginning of the scripture about the woman tricking Adam, I tricked myself. And somewhere down the line, my marriage only lasted 10 years. And I can tell you honestly, without any mental reservation whatsoever, I used to use a little expression. I think I should on another area. I don't care. I've said it, and I am really regretful that I can still say it on Olin. I don't care how slick a man think he can be. I have learned as a result of my philandering that you cannot slide on barbed wire. I got caught in that barbed wire, and I'm here to tell you, since our divorce, I have, and now my 40, that was in 70, I've been by myself 40-something years, and I can tell you honestly, all the women I have dated since then, all the companions I've had since then, I have not been able to erase the real love that I had with my wife in spite of the things that I did. I have not found anyone that make me want to say I do. I have not found anyone that makes that. But it, somehow, I am totally regretful of that. And I cannot tell the fact that my brother, what he's saying, is totally true. I have never in my life seen a couple like that. And I doubt that if I ever will. But I'm just saying to you this one. Mine is totally the opposite. I have learned that you can make someone happy. You can make some people unhappy. And I know that when Johnny Taylor, I think part of one of his songs, when you decide to straighten up, it was just a little bit too late. And that what happened to me. I think my wife was patient with me with my foolishness until she had enough. And then we got a U-Haul and drove back to New York. But even with that, after our separation and divorce, we got along very, very, very good. However, it was all my begging. And all my pleading, she preferred not to come back south. But that's the best way I can say it. It's just the opposite. And I hear the comments, I'm an avid reader of the book of the Solomon Song. And I guess I'm getting a little emotional. Please forgive me on that one, because I know the error of my ways. I know that. And now what I do now, I tell a lot of my friends when I see them doing certain things that I know they should not be doing, I am an advocate to tell them that little 5 minutes or 10 minutes is not worth what you're doing according to what you have at your house. If there's any love in your home at all, cherish it, and you can make one another happy. I was happy, but I just had a taste for walnut ice cream and different flavors of ice cream, and I was greedy. with no boundaries. That's the one lesson. You have to have some boundaries. I think you understand where I am now.
Okay.
That's enough. I think you got me. But I understand.
Okay.
I would say that if you ever, any of you, want to know how to love a person, but share love, read the Song of Solomon. It's all there. It's all there.
Amen. 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 I concur. I absolutely concur. You will find out a whole lot of how to treat your spouse by reading Song of Solomon. It will show you how to love your mate. But also, to be truthful, there's a lot of things you will discover in the book of Proverbs.
Yes.
It lets you know certain things about making good choices and how to do that which is just, fair, and right, which is very important in this life. Listen, there are so many things we could look at, but I think that it has been established that you should, one, build a good foundation. If you want to conquer failure in marriage, we're going to go to something else with the help of the Lord next week. But if you want to establish a good marriage and you don't want a marriage to fail, I agree with you, Sister Otis. It's imperative, Sister Gabriel, excuse me. It's imperative that you build a good foundation. I agree with that. I agree with you, Gabriel. There's got to be some good communication that is established. And I think that, you know, you've got to make up in your mind that you don't want to play games when it comes to marriage. I've always believed this, and if I'm wrong, you have every right to correct me. I've always believed that the moment a man tells a woman the words, "I do," he literally places his life in her hands. And vice versa, when she tells him, "I do," she places her life in his hands. And whatever they become throughout the time of their marriage is a result of being in each other's hands. So if they're in a place of success in their life, it's because they've been in each other's hands. And if they have failed for any reason as they're going through that life, it's because they've been in each other's hands. And so therefore, you have to guard what's in your hands when you say, "I do." If you really want to conquer failure in marriage, you've got to be careful with what you have in your hands. We've said a lot of things tonight. Before we go, I want to hear something from Dr. Kimmy, who I have not said much to tonight. I know she's been here listening. I want to know if she has anything she wants to share, add. Amen. Dr. Kimmy?
Well, I really agree with what was said. You must be happy within yourself before you get married. And I also want to reiterate, there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is based on people, places, and things, and the joy is the Lord's strength. So I don't believe that a man can make me joyful, but I believe that because that comes from the Lord, but I really believe that happiness is something that you work on eternally with the help of joy, but those two things are too different for me. So overall, it was a great discussion, and I really enjoyed it.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, listen, we want to say thank you for all of you joining us tonight here on Making Marriage Meaningful. So many things that you've been left to consider. There's something else I want to make mention of. One of the ways that you can find happiness is learn to engage and partake of something that your mate does. Again, Sister Gabriel said that she wasn't fond of fishing, but when she saw her husband fishing, she decided to partake of it, and now she has her own fishing rod. because she now partakes of something that he enjoys, and vice versa. He said that when she goes to the nail salon, he has no problem going with her, and he'll even get his feet done. He said it felt pretty good. So if you learn to partake of something that your mate partakes of and engage it, you just might find yourself enjoying it as well. Those are my sentiments. Those are my thoughts. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. Now, listen, I want to say this before we go. I want to say, don't talk good and walk bad. In other words, your marriage will be meaningless until your mate becomes meaningful. Thank you all so much for joining us tonight. Please join us next week when we deal with some more about conquering failure in marriage. Oh, we're going to deal with something that we're going to open up a can of worms on that. I promise you, you don't want to miss it. Next week, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 Central. We'll be here with these great people of God again, and they're going to share some more insight and thought with us. And sometimes the conversation may, if you will, seem to be a bit controversial, and is really not. It is a way that we communicate so that y'all get the full blend of different perspectives so that you get the best results. We love you. We're praying for you. Most of all, we say go with God, and he will go with you. Dr. Kitty, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to drop that track, all right? The rest of you, until next time, good night. Shalom, shalom, peace.
Father smile down upon my kings and queens of all. fade away metaphorically. King Kunta, highs on pride, my pride won't